a swear word, but this commonly used term still ought to have no place in a Christian's vocabulary. It's the word coincidence. Today on Turning Point, Dr. David Jeremiah reminds us that things might often appear to be lucky or coincidental, but God has a purpose for the people and circumstances in our lives. Here's David to introduce today's message from Ruth, the right time and the right place.
Well, we do talk about coincidences sometimes, don't we? We say, can't believe what just happened to me, when if we had a little better perspective on things, we'd realize that God is directing us and helping us and making us move in the right place. When we are submitting to Him, we always end up at the right place and the right time. Well, let's get started now by understanding how coincidence is really God putting us in the right place at the right time.
The story of Ruth is about a family born into the city of Bethlehem where God was at work. And when there was some trouble in the city because of famine, they forsook their roots and left the city and went to a place called Moab, which was a pagan city. And they were there for a decade, for 10 years, before God finally brought them back to the place from which they had departed. While they were in Moab, many terrible things happened to that family. The husband and father died. The two boys in the family died. And when they left the city to come back to the place of God's blessing, there was only one who left remaining, and that was Naomi, the mother. In the meantime, she had won the heart of one of her daughters-in-law by the name of Ruth. And so when they came back to Bethlehem and back to the will of God and back to the place from which they had left, it was Naomi, the mother, and Ruth, the daughter-in-law, and that was it. And when we last met with them, they had just come into the city of Bethlehem, and the people had recognized Naomi, and they had been kind of shocked at her and asked what had happened to her. And Ruth was introduced to this new culture that she'd never known before. And as you know, the family, when they left Bethlehem, had had quite a bit of material prosperity. Ruth had not known that, but Naomi said, "I went out full." She had a lot. But when she came back, she was penniless. She had no husband, she had no children, she had only her daughter-in-law, and she had no money. And when they got back to the city, they had no place to go except the old place, and there was nothing left there. And so the daughter-in-law took the initiative to go out, and in the Old Testament provision for those who were poor, she went into the fields where the harvest was going on to glean after the reapers, which meant she walked down the field and she picked up the grain that the reapers had missed. And she was doing that in order to provide food for her and for her mother-in-law. And in the providence of that, a man by the name of Boaz happened to own this particular field where Ruth was gleaning. And as we left the story the last time, Boaz has just noticed Ruth. And he says to his workers, "And who is this woman?" Remember that? In the 10th verse, what we have is a question, and the rest of this lesson today is the answer in many respects to that question. When Ruth met Boaz, we read that she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" Now, you have to understand that this story is about one man who was in the right place at the right time and a woman who was in the right place at the right time. And in order to get from the beginning of the story to the end of the story and to go through the lesson that is in these verses, I want to do it this way. There are three people involved in this episode: Boaz, Ruth, and Naomi. And the text is gathered around those three people. There are some verses that deal with Boaz, and some that deal with Ruth, and some that deal with Naomi. Instead of following the verses simply consecutively, we're going to deal with these verses according to what they have to say about the personalities in the story. And we're going to start with Boaz, because that's where the passage starts. And so we're going to learn about this man who is sort of the star of the rest of this presentation. We learn, first of all, of Boaz the Redeemer. And the verses that tell us about him are verses 11 and 12 and verses 14 through 16. First of all, in response to the question that Ruth asked in verse 10, we learn of the pity of Boaz, his compassionate heart. And Boaz answered verse 11 and said to her, "It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother in the land of your birth and have come to a people whom you did not know before." But then in verse 12, Boaz says a prayer. And this is one of the beautiful prayers of this chapter and of this Old Testament book. For in verse 12, Boaz says, "The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." It's interesting. These terms are so prevalent in the Bible, and we very seldom hear of them. For instance, you know, the Bible speaks of the wings of God, which are, if I can use this term, and I won't spell it for you, it's an anthropomorphism. It is taking the terms of God and putting them in language that is more human in terms of the understanding of God. And Boaz said to Ruth, "You have come under the wings of Almighty God." And then in verse 14, and we're going to spend a little more time on Boaz than the other two characters because he's the right man in the right place. But in verse 14, we're told of Boaz's provision. Now, Boaz said to Ruth at her mealtime, "Come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." So she sat beside the reapers and he passed parched grain to her and she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. Now, Boaz's provision was, first of all, very gracious, wasn't it? He invited her, this Moabitess woman, to come and eat at the table with all of his workers. He said, "Why don't you sit down here and eat and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar?" Now, I haven't tried that for its effect, but it's in the story, and we'll have to work on that later to get a sense of what he's talking about. But he gave her this gracious invitation. Now, please hear me. Here's what's going on here. Here is this woman who is a foreigner, and she not only has gotten Boaz's attention, but she's gotten the attention of all of the other workers in the field. And they're probably saying, as they would be prone to say, "What is she doing here? Why is she here?" And Boaz says, "Why don't you come and eat with us?" And then his provision was not only gracious, it was personal. He may have wondered what was being said among the workers at the table. And I know you know my imagination's run a little wild here with this, but I wouldn't be a bit surprised, but there weren't maybe two or three maidens in that group who had eyes for Boaz. You know? And they're not sure. They want this other woman in the picture because they've seen him take notice of her. And so, to put all questions aside, he goes over and he offers her food himself. He passed the food to her personally. So no one would doubt that she belonged there. And then the Bible said it was abundant. She had more than she needed, so much so that the Bible said she kept some back. And we'll learn why she did that in a few moments. So the provision of Boaz was gracious and personal and abundant. And then we learn in verses 15 and 16 about this man concerning his protection of her. Verse 15 says, "When she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, 'Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Also let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her.'" Now, his protection of this woman was twofold. First of all, it was positive, and secondly, it was negative. First of all, the positive protection. He said to all of his young men in the field, "I want you to know, this woman is to be allowed to glean in our field." Do you understand that? I can see Boaz saying that. He's giving her permission so that everybody knows she is there by his will, his design. Her permission is from the owner. And then he mentions that he not only wants them to allow her to glean in the field, but then he does something that's very unusual. It has to do with his purpose. He says, not only that, and he's talking to his workers now. You can see them kind of gathered in a huddle, and he's saying, "There's a woman here that I've met, and she ate with us today, and I want you to know she's going to be working in our company today. And I want you to know she's there by my permission, so nobody's to say anything." And not only that, he said, When you are reaping in the fields and you're gathering your bundles of grain, as you walk down through the field, I want you to drop some handfuls of grain on the ground just for her. Now, do it so she doesn't know it, but just drop it in the ground. Now, you see, that's not in the Old Testament gleaning laws that I can find. That tells you this man is in love. That's it right there, man. This man is in love. This is not the law anymore. This is the Spirit here. You understand what I'm saying? And he's saying, I want to take care of this woman. I want to make sure you know that you're to just drop some handfuls on purpose in the field. There's an interesting thing about that, that for us preachers, and some of you guys who are students of the Word of God may even have some of these books. There's a whole set of books called Handfuls on Purpose for Preachers. And what it is, it's the gleanings from writers over the past years that have been organized in a whole set of books, and they're called Handfuls on Purpose. In other words, these men have dropped these little morsels of truth, and they've been gathered up in these books, and so they're called Handfuls on Purpose. Now, you can see what's going on in Boaz's heart. You know, he's taken care of Ruth in this respect. And then the negative is, and you'll see these two prohibitions in these two verses at the end of each verse, he says, number one, do not reproach her. And I believe what that means is this. They knew she was a Moabitess woman, and he told them, don't you do anything to make her think of her past. Don't you reproach her. You know, that's a good word for all of us as God's people when we deal with others, isn't it? That ought not to be a part of our vocabulary, to reproach people. You know, I can see some of those guys maybe getting into the racial thing with her, you know, and putting her down. And Boaz says, don't you do it. Do you understand me? Don't reproach her. And then in the next verse, he says, don't rebuke her. And that means when she's gathering these hands full on purpose and putting her grain in the little container, don't you rebuke her for doing that. Remember, she's there because I have provided for her to be there. Well, that's the protection of Boaz. And then we come to a little profile on Ruth. And we'll do this carefully and quickly. Ruth is the reaper in this story. She's the one gleaning in the field. And we read about her in verse 13, verses 17 and 18, verse 21 and verse 23. And there are several characteristics that come out of Ruth in this chapter about this woman. First of all, her tenderness. Her tenderness. She said, let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. Now, the thing that comes out of this verse is the feminine tenderness of Ruth. In fact, the words, you have comforted me, are translated in other places like this. You have spoken to my heart, Boaz. There's a tenderness in the quality of these words. And then we learn not only of her tenderness, but in the next verse, we learn of her toil. And I almost put, instead of toil, her toughness, because she is a tough woman too. And I know that's a good thing for me to explain, and I will do that in a moment. But it says here, so she gleaned in the field until evening, and she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Now, if you study this text, what you discover is, and you read it carefully, Ruth left before the other workers to go to the field. She stayed all day, and later on we learn that she stayed till the end of the harvest, and she worked diligently, and she worked hard, and she collected on that first day an ephah of barley. Now, let me tell you how much grain that was, that this woman was able to get just in the grain that fell on the ground and the handfuls on purpose that were left there by the reapers. The text says she collected an ephah, and an ephah of barley is a little over a bushel, which means that she had 50 or 51 pounds of grain that she had collected that day. And more than likely, she had collected it in her apron. And she carried all of that grain all the way back up the hill to Bethlehem where she lived so that she could make it available to her home. Now, this is a hard-working woman. And I don't want you to get lost here. She was tender and she was tough. You see, men need to be tough and tender. Women need to be tender and tough. You understand what I'm saying? There's both qualities in both of us, but this woman was a very tender woman, but she was also a very hard-working woman. And you know, some of you think those two qualities don't go together, but they do. In the right way, when God's in charge. And then you'll notice her tenacity. Verses 21 and 23, it says, "You stay close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest." That was Boaz's words to her. And verse 23 says, she stayed close by the young women of Moab to glean until the end of the barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she dwelt by her mother-in-law. So she stuck by the project clear to the end, didn't she? She never quit. She had 50 pounds of grain. She might have not gone into work the next day. Not this woman. She had a tenaciousness about her that will be borne out in other parts of this story in the future. And then I mentioned that she kept back some of the food for another reason, and we learn of her trustworthiness in verse 18. And it says, she took it up, the grain, and she went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. So what was Ruth doing when she was eating that day at Boaz's table? She kept some of it back and didn't eat it herself because she wanted to provide for Naomi. And again, we're getting this picture of this woman. We've seen the picture of Boaz. Aren't they a neat couple? Well, let's take a look briefly at the third person, and then we're finished, and that's Naomi. And her verses are 19 and 20 and verse 22. And we call her Naomi the Rejoicer, and that's really an interesting title for this woman. Because we read in verse 19, "And her mother-in-law said to Ruth, 'Where have you gleaned today, and where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you.' So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, 'The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz.'" Note first of all, Naomi's attitude. And remember with me that when we last talked about Naomi, it was at the end of the first chapter. Do you remember that? And she was coming back into the city, and everybody said, "Isn't this Naomi?" And she said, "Don't call me that. I'm not Naomi. I'm Mara. I used to be Naomi, which means pleasant, but now I'm Mara. I'm bitter." At the end of chapter 1, she was a bitter woman. But now at the beginning of chapter 2, she's blessing everybody. What happened? Without getting too much of a spiritualization into this, let me just remind you, my friends, when you go back to Bethlehem, when you've been in Moab, your whole attitude changes. Isn't it true? You get back to the place where God wants you to be, the bitterness goes and the blessing begins. And that's what was going on with this woman. She had been bitter at the end of chapter 1, but now she's into the sense of God's blessing, and her attitude is one. She knows Boaz is the right man, and I'm not going to ask how many parents here. I know we don't do marriage like they did in the Old Testament, but we try on occasion, don't we? And she's going to make sure that this person is the person Ruth continues with. But when you walk in the fellowship of the Lord and you concentrate on that, God will minister to your heart. That's true in relationships and in everything else. It's true in business. My friend, you violate the principles of God's word in business and you ask for trouble. When you don't know what to do about things, you do know what to do about God. Stay in the center of His will, and God will give you the direction you need. That's the message of the book of Ruth.
And what a message that is. A reminder to all of us to patiently walk with the Lord. Don't get ahead of Him. Don't fall behind Him. Stay in step with Him day by day. We are looking forward to being with you tomorrow as we join together in this mysterious message called the Midnight Meeting. We'll see you then. Till then, this is David Jeremiah. Thanks for listening.
This is Mark Larson. Join us tomorrow as we continue the series Ruth, Romance and Redemption on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.
Jesus. heals it, wants to heal it. Does anybody want the Lord? Does anybody here need Jesus? Does anybody?
Does anybody